Our scripture this morning is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 22. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are they not which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of the devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Good morning. Happy New Year. Gotcha. Happy New Year. And a happy Sabbath. Wonderful. The first Sabbath of a new year. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord is even refreshing the earth. I heard my wife back there. Amen. Yeah, we do like a little rain. It's what keeps Oregon green. So we praise God for that. Well, so good to see everyone. It's wonderful to be here, especially on this beautiful day when we gather at the Lord's table. Very special day, always. Because we have two potlucks today, right? We have one physical, one spiritual. Amen. Well, let's bow our heads before we start. Heavenly Father, Lord, it truly is a high Sabbath every time we can gather together in a very special way at the table that you set. We just praise you for your goodness, for the sacrifice that you've given, for the strength that you give us, for the free salvation. And Father, as we gather at your table now and as we open your word for a few minutes here before, we just want to be guided by your Spirit and be touched by your love. In thy most holy name we ask. Amen. You ever notice that special days have a particular connection with food? We just went through a season, right? How y'all doing? Thanksgiving, Christmas, anniversaries, birthdays. No matter what one they are, there's a special meal, it seems like. Which is wonderful, right? And we can't wait to hear the call, come to the table. That's what I called my thoughts this morning. Let's come to the table. Because this morning, Jesus set the table. And he's inviting us. He's saying, come to my table. But I think there are several things we can think of before we join together at his table. I have six little points I'd like to run through this morning. Before we sit down to a meal, what do we usually do? Pray, very good. Maybe even before we get to the table, we need to clean up, right? Yeah, at least in my house growing up, especially, But it's true, you don't work in the garden or work on the car or something and then come inside and sit down and start to eat dinner all dirty, right? No, it doesn't work well. You go and wash up first. And this is why the Bible tells us to follow Jesus' example and to serve each other in foot washing and to examine our lives. And if there's anything in between any of us, we need to get settled and cleaned up, you might say, before receiving communion. If you'd like to turn to John chapter 13, starting in verse 12. John 13, starting in verse 12. So after he had washed their feet, of course this is Jesus, and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord, than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Isn't that beautiful? Happy are you if you do them. You know, friends, we may see, as we look inwardly, something that needs to be confessed and cleaned up. In fact, we all need to go to the sink and clean up, so to speak. When we come to Jesus with remorse and repentance, we find forgiveness, restoration, and an open invitation to his table. What a blessing that is. Amen? It's true that none of us are worthy. Excuse me. None of us are worthy. But if we trust in Christ, we are eligible. He invites us, and he authorizes us to come to his table. Second point is that also before dining, we need to have a good appetite, right? What would happen if you were invited to someone else's house for dinner, and an hour before the meal, you ate a bag of chips, drank a can of pop, ate half a dozen Twinkies? I mean, after all that junk food, you wouldn't have an appetite for the good stuff. After all that, Paul tells us, as we just read, as Dr. Mark read this morning, that you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You can't do both. God offers us wholesome meal. The bread and the cup won't fill us up physically, but they will fill you spiritually. When we stuff ourselves with the junk food of sin, we lose our appetite for the banquet that God has prepared for us. We need to taste and see the satisfying goodness of the Lord. Of course, that's Psalm 34, verse 8. Invite you, come and taste and see how good he is. So we need a good appetite. We need to be cleaned up. There's a fellow by the name of Dr. Leroy Creasy of Cornell University several decades ago identified a chemical in grapes. You've probably heard of it. If I say it right, it's resveratrol. Yeah, resveratrol. And it reduces the risk of heart disease. He first reported it in a February 1992 issue of the American Journal of Enology and Viticulture, and then in the Journal of Applied Cardiology, that grape juice lowered cholesterol and it cleanses blood of some of the life-threatening issues. And it makes me think of the Lord's table and of the grape juice, which it does have resveratrol in it. It's there. And it represents the blood of Christ that cleanses us and cleans and gives health to our spiritual hearts and washes away the deadly effects. We are in the world, but as John 17, 15 in Jesus' prayer, he says that we should not be of the world. Let's take a quick look at that. John 17, I don't want to take my word. John 17, a beautiful chapter, Jesus praying for himself and then for his people. John 17, verse 15. Jesus says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. We are exposed to sin, aren't we? But we can resist temptation. Do we get an appetite for what God has for us when we've been dwelling on all the things down below rather than things above? When our perspective is fixed on earthly things and we get caught up in that which has no lasting value. Social media is full of it. The news is full of it. Life around us is full of it. Amen? We need, as we start a new year, to refresh our memories, to let the things down here lay. And keep your eyes fixed on high. Jesus tells us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We need to hunger and thirst for God's word, for his power in our hearts that will give us the victories over the sin that besets us, preparing us to live with him. But we think, what does Jesus mean when he says we'll be filled? Well, friends, I think a lot of folks are running around today in their lives on empty. Some are even running on fumes. They go day to day without any purpose or meaning, and they struggle all the time. And when they reach the end of their life, they look back and wonder, what was the purpose of it all? This is starving spiritually. We don't want to starve spiritually. We need to hunger and thirst for the Lord. Because how much different to know that God loves us individually, each one of us. We can't go wrong. Jesus will always fill our days with significance and satisfaction. Third point, when we're dining, we also like to take some moments for enjoyment, right? We need to enjoy the moment. You know, I've read that there were places like the fast food places, I shouldn't name names, but you can pick a number of them. Most all of them, their chairs inside are designed to be uncomfortable, or at least not comfortable. The whole idea is so that people won't get so comfortable and hang around, but they'll eat and they'll leave and make room for somebody else to come in. It's a money-making thing. And even at home sometimes, we're in a hurry. We don't enjoy our food. I'm guilty of sometimes rushing too much. Because we're rushed, we eat, and we're off. But friends, when we come to partake of the Lord's Supper, of the Lord's table, we should savor the moment. We should recognize what it means to linger, to reflect, to remember. When we come to the Lord's table, our spiritual meal should be the focus of why we're here. It's not just something that happens every once in a while. We want it to be relational, inspirational, and one that will mean something to your heart. Amen? Fourth point. We need harmony at the meal table. I don't think you folks know about it, but I heard of a family who got together for a meal and conversation started to go a certain way and it ended up being controversial. They started talking about current events and the discussion slipped into political differences. Not everyone shared the same viewpoint. And what do you know? The enjoyment of the meal was ruined because they argued. We can't expect everyone in our congregation or any congregation to agree on every issue. But we are expected to get along. In 1 Corinthians 10, today's text, down in verse 17, says, "For we being many are one bread and one body." Paul is saying that conflict, tension, disharmony can all ruin a perfectly good meal. One thing we don't want to bring to God's table is a spirit of divisiveness, of accusations, of hurt feelings. Because if we do, we're not coming in the spirit of Christ. That's what the foot washing is for. That's the time, if you sit there a moment and think of any brother or sister that you feel uneasy with or have crossed with or whatever, go to them before the foot washing. Ask for forgiveness. Try to smooth out any kinds of troubles. We don't want disharmony at the Spirit of Christ and his table. The fifth point, we should be grateful for this meal. You know, I'm sure we've probably all seen the apron, on, you know, at least on the catalog, it says, kiss the cook. I don't know, maybe some of you cooks have that. Kiss the cook. Now, those who prepare meals appreciate being told by the people that they enjoyed their meal. When we come to the Lord's table, we need to eat and partake with an attitude of gratitude. Not take it for granted. Don't let it become a ritual. God provided manna, miraculous food, to the Israelites in the wilderness, right? And what did they do? Complained. A little kid once in Sabbath school talking about this, and he said, they complained about eating angel food cake? That's angel food, but a little different. So, yeah, but they complained. They complained. Friends, we need to appreciate the cost of this meal. I mean, Jesus prepared the meal that cost his life. We should appreciate also how our deacons and our deaconesses take the time to prepare for our communion. It's not an easy task. We're so appreciative of their dedication and what they do. Don't be afraid to thank them. Even more, we should appreciate the sacrifice of our Savior. Otherwise, we miss the whole point of this meal. Last point is that when we come to God's table, we want to come with a sense of loyalty. Loyalty. If your family, say, owned a great restaurant, I'd hope you'd come there frequently and you'd tell others about it and you wouldn't want to eat anywhere else. Here in today's text, Paul is talking about people trying to eat at the devil's table yet also come to God's. We serve a jealous God, as Paul reminds us in verse 22, who will not be replaced with substitutes. He deserves our undivided loyalty. He created us. He redeemed us. He sustains us. He gives us power to live victoriously. But the Christians at Corinth were tempted to revert to the idolatrous practices of their earlier lives. And Paul knew this. And while it's true we may not see a lot of overt pagan idol worship today, idolatry is still prevalent in our society. Because trusting anything for what God alone provides is idolatry. Putting it in place of God. Eating at the Lord's table means communing with Christ and identifying with and accepting his death and his resurrection. Our partaking of communion indicates that we are undivided in our commitment to Jesus Christ. He is our top priority. He is preeminent in our lives. And as we start the new year, what a great time to rejoice. Also a good time to reflect. Next Sabbath we're here, I know it's a couple weeks away, but we're going to look a little bit in reflecting on the year. But today, I want you to worship. If there's anything among you, quietly resolve it with your friend, your church member, whoever it is. And commit yourself to being the one body, serving the one Lord, so that there is no schism within Christ's body here. Would you like that? Amen. I pray for it all the time. Pray for all of you and myself, that I don't offend anybody either. If I do, please let me know. I do not want any of that. We need to be together. Even Ellen White told us, you know, as we come closer to the end, it's press together, press together. Don't leave. You got problems, let's fix them. If there's any issues, let's work together. Because we want to make this a year of renewal. We want it to be have a fresh, open recommitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to find someone else out there about the great restaurant that feeds on the Word of God and invite them to come learn about the Jesus we have the privilege of knowing. So I pray as we start the new year, we're a year closer home, amen? But that also means we have a lot more work to do in a little time. Maybe personally. That's between you and the Lord. But also, we have a work to do among ourselves, and we have a work to do in sharing with those who are running on vapors out there. Many are even giving up. when there is an eternity and a wholesome, joyful, peaceful life available. We are called to share that wonderful news. It's called the gospel. I pray that as we come into this year, your commitment will be fresh and new to the Lord and to the mission. Okay, well, let's go wash up, get ready for the meal, which means that we as Seventh-day Adventists do believe in open communion, meaning you don't have to be a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Just if you've given your heart to the Lord, you're free and welcome to join. And for foot washing, we have the ladies back in the children's division on the right, down the hall, the men straight through into our prayer room in the back, and I believe if for couples, we have up here on the overflow room. If you like not to partake of that at this time, you can please just go ahead and remain here, and we will all be back shortly for a continuation of the Lord's Supper. So let us separate now. God bless. I always like to look around and see smiling faces when we come back in. That's better. Are you glad? Yes. We're thankful for the Savior. What a beautiful, beautiful Lord we have. And I'm so glad that he gave us this service to remind us of that amazing sacrifice. Just beyond words, isn't it? When we contemplate it. As we start the new year again, like I said, it is a time of reflection, isn't it? It can be. I don't necessarily personally subscribe to resolutions because I find they break about as fast as I make them. But it's not a bad thing to consider where you're at and hold up the life of Jesus and have him impress upon you where to go and how to get there. And I think to make a resolution that you want to be closer to Jesus Christ, you want to reflect his character, and you want him in your heart more than last year, that's a good thing. And as we come to the table today, like we said earlier, this is a table that the Lord set before us. By his very life, by his carrying our sins, your sins, my sins, and paid the penalty. Total separation from God the Father, he experienced. Carrying the weight of the sin of the whole world. And like John 3:16 and 17, we're also familiar with, especially 16, but 17 reminds us that God didn't come to condemn the world, but he came that through him the world might be saved. That's how we feel ourselves. Amen? We're Christians. We're here. But again, I just ask for an impression of the Spirit on you this coming year to realize so many people don't recognize that or know that. So my prayer is that God will lead people to cross our paths that are looking for that. And then may we be soft and so close to God and so filled with his Spirit that when that path crossing happens, the Spirit will prompt us. They'll give you words. Tell them what Jesus means to you, what he's done for you. It's not about doctrine. It's about Jesus Christ and how he's changed your life and what he means to you. And then as we lead them to Scripture where God is revealed, you learn what God wants us to know. Remember BIBLE? Basic information before leaving Earth. The Bible is just basic information about the wonderful gift of salvation that Jesus has given us. But there is so much more that we'll have an eternity of learning from the lips of Jesus himself and others to go through. I could go on for hours, couldn't I? It is just such a wonderful thing what Jesus has done for us and offers for us. So as you partake of communion today, I pray that you'll send a little prayer up and ask the Lord to not only impress upon you the commitment, but will also give you the power and the reminders that you can glorify him in this year to come. May we all bring honor and glory to our Savior. At this time, Mark will read and have a blessing for the bread.
Reading from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 and 24. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's bow our heads. How we thank you, Father, for the sacrifice that you made, for the deliverance that you have made available for us. Might we partake and fully understand what has been done at your hand and at your life. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Now Phil will read and have a blessing on the grapes.
And continuing on in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 25, 26, and 27. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the sacrifice that Jesus gave, for spilling his blood, that our sins may be washed as white as snow. So as we participate with this, we pray that you will give us your blessing. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Christ is still at the table on which the Paschal Supper has been spread. The unleavened cakes used at the Passover season are before him. The Passover wine, untouched by fermentation, the symbol of sin and death, corruption. It could not represent the Lamb without blemish or without spot. 1 Peter 1:19. Let me rephrase that. I think I just made a mistake. The Passover wine, untouched by fermentation, is on the table. These emblems Christ employs to represent his own unblemished sacrifice. Nothing corrupted by fermentation, the symbol of sin and death, could represent the Lamb without blemish and without spot. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. As the Lord's disciples gather about his table, they're not to remember and lament about their shortcomings. They're not to dwell upon the past religious experience, whether that experience is elevating or depressing. They're not to recall the differences between them and their brethren. The preparatory service has embraced all this. The self-examination, the confession of sin, the reconciling of differences should all have been done. Now they come to meet with Christ. They are not to stand in the shadow of the cross, but in its saving light. They are to open the soul to the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness. With hearts cleansed by Christ's most precious blood, in full consciousness of his presence, although unseen, they are to hear his words, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. What a blessing. Do you want peace in this world? This is the only peace that lasts. Amen. peace that passes understanding. For it comes from the heart and the hands of Jesus himself for each one of us. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and he said, "Drink ye all of it." Praise God. What a blessing to come to his table. Let's take our hymnals, our closing song, number 495. Heavenly Father, that's where we want to be, near to the heart of God. So Lord, we ask, we beg of you, to draw us to you with your undying love. Pull us close to you. Fill us with your Spirit. Cleanse us from sin. Search our hearts, our lives, our mind. Father, and impress upon us what we need to drop by the wayside as you continue to lead us home. For Lord, we want to live with you. You died that we may. We thank you. But Father, we cling to you. For we in desperately need of not only your forgiveness, but of your strength, of your compassion, of your patience. Lord, as you continue to prepare your people, Lord, may each one here and with those within the sound of my voice be touched anew at the start of this year with your power and your Spirit and a deeper commitment to you. All because of Jesus. We thank him for setting this table. We cannot wait to sit in the new Jerusalem at that table that goes for miles when he once again lifts the glass of grape juice. So Lord, until then, enable, empower, and guide each of us. And our hearts go to you forever. In thy most holy name, God's people say,
amen,
amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. And on the way out, there is the Good Samaritan offering. I always forget that, sorry. Good Samaritan offering on the way out. Thank you.